Steve and Jill here.
Happy Friday.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Steve and Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from pretty Paradise Valley, Arizona.
Today is Jill Friday. She's going to talk about how we failed at hiring and bring it home this week. Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free, and if you're already a member, please join us on Discord. This is question is two parts.
I see that. There's different dates, so this is going to be good.
So this is Austin asking a question on May 4th, when we'll read the question. And then a million people in our group and outside of our group respond. And then he, two or three weeks later, he gives us his decision.
Okay, good. Okay, so this is Austin on May 4th. Hello. I'm writing this in response to podcast number 1479 about recovering landlords. This is good. I've owned a duplex for about 10 years. It cash flows about $600 a month, depending on expenses. If I was to sell it right now, I could gross approximately $220,000 after paying off the underlying mortgage. I remember this, by the way. The real estate fees and other taxes would still need to be subtracted. I'm not sure what this looks like tax-wise until I have a chat with my accountant. Would you guys hang on to this asset and let rents and equity just go up? And then, or would you sell it and take this money and apply it to property acquisitions? I could also do a cash-out refinance as well. Thoughts? Thanks, Austin. And a lot of people wrote in on. So I think I wrote in on this too, if I remember correctly. I know what I said.
Jill and I said sell it. The vast majority, if not every single response, and there were tons of them, were said to keep it.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, so this is good. So here's the follow-up.
Bear in mind, it's cash flowing $600 a month.
Not counting the headaches.
That doesn't pay our utility bill.
And the alcohol that he needs to consume for the headaches that go with this. I would spend that $600 easy. Okay. So Austin wrote back on May 21st. Hello. So my question made the podcast. Yeah, it did, Austin. Yeah.
Episode
1501. And now you're back, too. Well, I don't know what episode we're on today. But anyway, I would have responded sooner, except I was out of town doing important rural land research. Good for him. I was comparing different areas and how affluent the flavor of wine, I was comparing different areas and how they influence the flavor of wine and charcuterie plates.
This is the same type of land research we do.
That's exactly what we do. After listening to the podcast, I'm leaning towards selling, but for a slightly different reason than it being an underperforming asset. Allow me to go on a tangent for a moment. I work for a small company. My employer is retiring at the end of the year. My current company will shut down. I will have similar W-2 job tentatively lined up. I don't find my current work very interesting.
Amen to that.
While I was on vacation, a land buyer contacted me and I set up most of the transaction from my campsite. For the next couple of days, I rode around on a deal high. Many of you out there who have done deals already should know what I'm talking about. Doing land deals is much more interesting and fun than many W-2 situations. If I cash out of the duplex, it would allow me to both have living expenses as well as money for mailers and acquisitions. Deal funding is still an option if I really want to swing for the fences. I have an appointment to meet with a realtor soon. I'm excited about what the possibilities are. Take care, Austin. So it was him getting outside going, I really don't want to do this.
If I was your father, I'd shake your hand and give you a big hug and say you're doing the right thing.
Yay. I got goosebumps.
Me too.
Oh, I'm so happy, Austin. Good for you. And there's always going to be that W-2 job if you really feel like you need the security blanket. But if you go all in, you're going to be just fine.
You still get the deal high?
Oh, totally.
So do I.
Every day.
Me too. It's an addiction. I'm totally addicted to it.
Yep.
I can say that happily. I'm not. Yeah. I don't know what I would do without it.
Hi, I'm Land Academy Anonymous. I'm an addict.
We call this.
I am a deal addict.
We should have meetings for this.
They are. It's every Thursday at 3 o'clock Pacific
land
time.
Land Anonymous.
Yeah.
Land Acquisitions Anonymous.
Exactly.
For LAA.
Yes, for Land Academy members, Land Academy addicts.
That's the name of a show. I'm going to write this down.
Yeah, I'm writing down. All right. LAA. Land Academy Addicts. Come here. We'll all talk about it. Yeah, that's great. Okay.
Today's topic, Jill Friday, and how we failed at hiring. This is the meat of the show.
This I wrote down 3 points.
Oh, good.
That I'm not sure. We talked about them, but I wrote down 3 different points and 3 different ways to look at them. Because have we failed at this? Heck yeah. Will we continue to fail at this? Heck yeah. But every time I make a mistake and I go, whoop, not doing that again, I learn. I get closer and closer to making it better and easier when hiring. And I will tell you too, this is not, you need to plan at least a month. When you put that first posting up to really be probably talking to the right person. There's a lot of gunk out there. There's a lot of people looking for jobs, a lot of people that don't even read what the posting is, and they have tons of wait staff experience. And I'm like, I don't know how that applies, but okay. You know, so you have to dig through to find the right people. It's almost like a mailer too. When the posting first goes out, you get all the junk. And then you get the people in the middle that have sat down and really spent some time on it. And the best ones have really spent time on it and wrote you a personal letter and tailored their resume to have the, you know, important parts to jump out at you that apply to the position. I love when people do that. Then they really care and they want the job. So how did we fail? Number one, we didn't ask the right questions. I didn't ask the right questions. I had to learn what the right questions are. What do you want to add?
I have a lot to say about this.
I'm going to go through my list and I'll let you go.
Yeah.
All right. Second thing is, didn't test enough. I did do some tests. I've always done the best employees are when I gave them a test for specific jobs, that is. Like one time I had an employee that I sent everybody out here. It was a mail merge thing. We needed help. It was a part of an O2O position, office owners. And so it was years ago. And I said, I need you to do a video, make a video, submit it with your application, showing you doing a mail merge. I don't care what it is. And all I, oh, it was the funniest thing. I got back links to, it was crickets or links to YouTube videos teaching me how to do a mail merge. Not them even doing it. They just went and found a link like, oh, here's a mail merge. Here you go. Here's how you do it. I'm like, no. Only one person, and he did get hired, actually did the exercise. I wanted to see, A, do you read what I say? That's test number one. B, can you work a video? Can you add your own audio? Can you do this stuff for me and properly submit me and figure out how to do a mail merge and videotape yourself doing a mail merge on the screen showing me you can handle this task? And only one person did it, and we hired that one person.
And he was there for years.
He was there
for a long time. He worked out great. He was a good guy, too.
We kind of outgrew him.
Well, I think looking back on that, I don't know if we outgrew him. I think that we hired a supervisor for everybody, mm-hmm. and she didn't work out. Looking back on that, I think he'd still be working with us.
That's true. He might still be here because he was good and his heart was in it. So, and then the third point that I want to make of how we failed at hiring, we're getting a lot better at this. We did not fire fast enough. There's a lot of positions that I understand trying to work with someone. I really do. But there's a point when you're like, this is not going to work, and you can coach and you're done coaching and counseling, then you need to rip off the Band-Aid and just as hard as it is, you know, what usually happens with us is great. Whose plate is this now going to fall on? And that's how then we limp along a little bit. We're like, we shouldn't have done that. We should have just fired then, taken on the extra workload. Sorry, we'll hire as fast as we can for that position. That's just the way it is because it's usually better.
The problem that I have with hiring is that it has such a high rate of failure. And everything else that I do in my life, or Jill and I do in our lives, or the people that work with our lives have a really high degree of success rate. So if I look at all the tens of thousands of real estate deals we've done, on one hand, I can tell you, I've regretted maybe on one hand 4 or 5 properties that we've lost on. And they were all insignificant losses. And so when you think about how we send out all these mailers and we get these deals that come back in, whether it's a phone call or somebody sends back the purchase agreement, And then we look at that purchase agreement or the deal itself, and we go through our due diligence and our acquisition criteria. And if we're on the fence about it, mm-hmm. we don't do the deal. You know, years ago, we probably would have done it because it was harder to come. We just didn't have it all figured out, but now we have it figured out, and so do the Land Academy members. So translate that methodology to hiring. You know, if I could send out 10,000 letters to really logical candidates in a database somewhere that all, let's say, have the training to do a mail merge, I'll go and use Jules. I know in this database they know how to do a mail merge mm-hmm. and to this level. Send out all those mailers, 20 people call me back, or whatever number, and then we look at those 20 people, and all the facts about those 20 people are factual, just like a real estate deal. It's got access, there's got trees on it, it's got a great attribute, it's large, it's cheap enough, I can see all of the surrounding prices and stuff, we got to do this deal. Then we would have a huge success rate in hiring, but we don't, because people lie. They lie about their education. They lie about their capabilities. They lie about their personality. They dress up. They dress up really well and speak really in full sentences. And then 2 weeks after hiring them in an office, you're like, none of that stuff was true.
Yeah.
And so that has never happened with the land deal with us because we're staring at the facts. That's what's so hard about hiring is you just don't have any facts.
Do you know my favorite?
That's why we fail at.
So we try, and we're trying to scope them out, and we do get better every time. And sometimes it's just, you just have to go through people. So my favorite story, I'll end on this, was the person that I hired about 2 years ago. She came from working for other investors in the LA area doing like big, big deals. And her particular job in their office was reviewing contracts. That was her only job. And there were like two of them. That was their whole thing. And I said, I asked her, do you understand the whole flow of a transaction? I know your job's on this one part, but do you understand the whole flow? And she's like, yeah, I do. You know, and then like, can you handle the whole flow? Oh God, yes. So she told me she was kind of bored, which mm-hmm. I would be too. I can understand. She's like, all I do is review contracts all day. I only get this one little piece of the whole transaction.
She's a great person too.
She was such a sweetheart. And she came in and she was overwhelmed that what she does, she wanted a little bit of faster pace, I think, but she didn't want this fast. And I could see it happening. I could see her getting more and more stressed. I could see her going home, you know, like, oh, okay, I got to learn this. I got to learn that. I don't understand this, you know, and she really tried. And so what happened was, this is one of my favorites because it all worked out so well. I said, and she loved us. That was the thing too. She loved Land Academy. She loved the community. She says, I love how your members are. She's like, I see how they adore you guys. This is like, you guys are really doing some good. You know, it was really it was so nice. She's like, I really want to be here and make this work. And she tried. So I remember it was like a Thursday night and she's leaving the office. And I said, hey, it's just so you know, I see it's getting harder and it's okay. If this is not working out for you, I get it. So you're home tonight at dinner, you know, think about it. I want you to come in tomorrow and have a good day and enjoy being here. And I know you love everything about all this, but I want you to know too that if you think this is too much for you to handle, I will totally understand and it's okay. So that next morning I woke up to a very nice email from her saying, thank you, Jill. I needed that out, you know, and she was so sweet. She's like, you know, like leaving with a hug, you know, she's like, I wish I could have done that for you. I love everything about you guys, but gosh, I just couldn't keep up with you guys. And she called it, not me. And I'm so proud of her because not everybody can do that. She took a look at herself and realized, you know, it would get worse and she would be miserable. She, you know, and I'm so happy that she did that.
You know, and I'll leave it on this. Everybody, if you ask anybody, with very few exceptions, this question, do you understand technology? The vast majority of people, regardless of age or background, are going to say yes.
Yeah, because they hold up their phones and they go, yep, sure.
Oh, yeah, I understand technology. Done. What I'm really asking, and that it depends on who's asking this, because you as a potential employer are going to ask this.
Right.
What I mean is, do you have a master's degree in Excel? Or a PhD level Excel, and can you actually program in that? And do you understand Access database? And do you need a mouse? And so if I asked it that way, everybody would say, I don't even know what Excel is. except for a very few number of people, or they've been in Excel to do a household budget 2 years ago. And so technology, this person that you're talking about was and she was young. Mm-hmm. She was great, I'm sure, at using Microsoft Word and understood PDFs for her job, for reading and reviewing contracts. She was impossible from a tech standpoint.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I've hired people in the past where I've said, do you understand technology? Oh, yeah. And then, but they couldn't set up their own computer. And these are people that are, you know, 24 years old. They've only ever had a MacBook. And so, and we don't use that. We use desktop computers that are, you know, all tricked out because it's important for speed and all that stuff. So I had to help that person who is no longer with us set up his computer. Mm-hmm. So tech is so important. And whatever your level of tech requirement is, please communicate it to that potential employee and see if they can pass a test.
There you go.
And they can't. Because this business we're in is huge. There's a huge tech component to it.
That's true.
We've had people at the live event who couldn't type. They've never typed before.
Yeah.
And they're asking how to do a mailer.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We're good.
That's why we failed at firing.
There we go.
Failed at hiring.
And firing. We're getting better at both. Happy you could join us today, 5 days a week. You can find us right here on the Land Academy Show.
Join us next week for another interesting episode. You are not alone in your real estate ambition. God, Jack's got a problem.
He did. This is a rant week. You guys asked for it, by the way. You definitely asked for
it. What's Jack's problem with hiring? Jeez. Can't you just be, have a heart, man?
Is he like a jerk boss or something?
Have a heart.
Because the common denominator sounds like Jack.
Why would you think, Jack, that people at work have to be accountable? I don't want to work there.
Yeah.
I don't want to be accountable for my job. There's people like this.
I understand. Thank you for tuning in. Whew. We hope you find our content valuable. And we do appreciate your support. If you haven't already, please get on over to our YouTube channel. That thing is growing and there's more videos coming. It's really great. And hit the subscribe button so you will be notified for upcoming things. And please comment on the shows that you love.
We are Steve and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.